Good morning.
The blessing of the Lord be with you today as we gather in the name of Christ to worship our God. Have you ever picked up the Philokalia? You probably have heard of it, but probably never really read any part of it. A lot of people talk about the Philokalia, very few people actually read it. It is actually a five-volume collection of spiritual writings from about the 4th century all the way up to the 14th century, about 1,000 years of spiritual wisdom from various fathers of the church, most of them saints, some of them not saints. I'm sorry. And this was compiled by Saint Nicodemus the Ayuritis and Saint Makarios Notaras in the late 18th century in Greece, and it was published in the original Greek in the year 1782, and since then it has been translated into many languages, and there are at least two or three complete English translations that I know of. Now, in volume one of the Philokalia, there is a work by Saint Mark the Ascetic, who lived around the year 430. And this is a work that's called 226 Texts Concerning Those Who Think That Men Are Justified by Works. So that sounds like a book that Luther might have written, except that St. Mark the Ascetic was not Luther, and Luther did not have the Orthodox foundation that St. Mark had. And he starts this collection of 226 texts or paragraphs. And he says, in the texts which follow, the erroneous faith, kakopistia he calls it in Greek, the erroneous faith of those who are outside ton exothen, meaning, of course, outside the correct beliefs. The erroneous faith of those who are outside will be exposed by those who are steadfast in the faith and have discovered the truth. And then in the very next passage, in text number 2, he hits the nail the way Luther could not. And he wrote, it's a little theological today, if you don't mind, but with those two magnificent epistle and gospel readings, I have no choice but to give you some theology today. And I make no apologies for that. So in this text number 2, St. Mark writes, the Lord, wishing to show that every commandment ought to be fulfilled and that sonship is granted to men by his own blood, says, and he quotes Luke chapter 17, when you shall have done those things which are commanded you, say, we are unworthy servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. End of quote from Luke 17, where Jesus is speaking to the people who are following him. And St. Mark the Ascetic goes on to say, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is not a reward for works, but a gift of the master prepared for faithful servants. Bam! In one sentence, destroyed the entire Reformation. The kingdom of heaven is not a reward for works, but a gift of the master prepared for faithful servants. Not only does he agree with the reformers that we are not saved just by works, but he goes deeper. the way the reformers could not do. There are still 224 more texts on these subjects that Mark wrote, but already in this text number 2, we have the Orthodox answer. Salvation and the kingdom of heaven are not a reward for works, but it is a gift for those who have done their duty. Their duty. In that great parable of the sheep and the goats, the sheep have done their duty. They don't appear before Jesus Christ with a list of all the things that they have done and saying, okay, reward us now for these things that we have done. Christ tells them the things that they have done and rewards them for doing their duty. When did we do these things, the sheep say? It was like, for them, it wasn't like they were doing something special, except what their duty was to do as human beings, as believers in God. It is like they were saying, that's what we do, Lord. That's what servants do. That's what your servants do. We are justified by faith. St. Paul wrote at the beginning of today's epistle from Romans chapter 5. I'm not engaging in polemics here against Protestants. I have nothing against Protestants. They're wonderful Christians. But Protestants love to quote that phrase. But notice that Paul did not stop there. He went on. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. The faith that justifies, the faith that makes us righteous before the face of God, leads to grace. Harin taftin, St. Paul wrote, taftin, this grace, not some other grace, but this grace, the free gift that St. Mark also wrote about. So Paul then asks a few questions, and I ask with St. Paul, what is the most commendable thing a person can do? What is the most commendable thing that you can do? Perhaps to die for someone else, sacrificing yourself for someone else, to save someone else from death, like jumping in front of somebody who's going to be run over by a bus and you getting killed instead. That's commendable. That will get you some praise at City Hall. It's commendable. But Paul says, perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, while we were still enemies of God, Christ died for us. And then, of course, we know that he rose from the dead also for us. So that salvation is not only about forgiveness of sins, it is also about being given new life, a life in which we stand. St. Paul's words. Salvation in the final analysis is not about what you do, but who you are. And what you do flows from who you are, is the result of who you are. You are saved if you are one of the sheep. You are saved for who you are. And what you do is part of who you are. It flows. It's the result of who you are. It's not even anything for you to think about. It's your duty. It's your duty. And if you don't understand duty as a Christian, then maybe we need to go back to Orthodoxy 101. Even for Jesus, the question was, who do people say I am? Who do you say I am? It's always about who we are. That's what the sheep realized in the great parable. That's why they were surprised by what Christ said to them. And that is what will surprise us if we simply do what we are called to do as followers of Jesus Christ. Not as followers of some other ideology. Not asking you to be a communist or to do what communists tell you to do or what Muslims tell you to do, but what Jesus Christ tells you to do. That's who you are. The debate about faith and works that Protestants spend endless sermons and books about is a straw man. The issue doesn't exist for Paul or for us. There is that wonderful passage in Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not of your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not because of works, lest any man should boast. Wow. Nice. Now I can sound like a Protestant, like an evangelical preacher to you. And stop right there at that period. But Paul didn't stop there. Because the very next sentence says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's exactly, almost in similar words, what St. Mark the ascetic wrote 400 years after St. Paul, and which found its way into the Philokalia another 1,350 years later. We are his workmanship. God has made us to walk in his ways, to do his will. It's who we are. And that's the key that Mark the ascetic figured out when he quoted Luke chapter 17, verse 10, in that text number 2 that I read for you. He quoted Luke chapter 17. We are unworthy servants, dhuli achri, very strong in the Greek. We have done that which was our duty to do. Dhuli achri, unworthy servants, not worthy of reward, of praise. We simply did what was our duty to do. It's the only way to understand the Sermon on the Mount and today's gospel reading, which is taken from the Sermon on the Mount. Of course, the Sermon on the Mount starts with the Beatitudes that we sang just a little while ago here in the liturgy. They are statements of who we are or will be. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You see, those are statements about who we are or what we will be. And then goes on. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is to say some tough words. But he's saying those tough words not to people who are casual listeners. He is saying those tough words to people who are the poor in spirit, who are the meek, who will inherit the earth, who are the merciful, who are those who mourn. You can say about, even if you call somebody a fool, you are murdering him. You are guilty of murder. If you look with lust at another person, you are committing adultery. People love to quote those words of Jesus saying, look how tough those words are. Well, excuse me, but they're not meant for you, whoever you are, a casual listener, reader. You can just go back to lusting and stealing and calling people names and doing whatever you want. God is not talking to you. God is talking to his people. To his people who are doing their duty, who take every word that flows from the mouth of Jesus Christ and from his apostles that we read in this book and in all the other books that have been written since then. That's who Jesus Christ is talking to. So finally, when he gets to that part that we read today from the Sermon on the Mount about not being anxious, not being anxious about life, being like the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. Many people laugh at those passages. But again, Jesus is not talking to them. He's not talking to them. He's talking to his people. To his people. So he says, rather, don't be anxious about those things. Rather, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be taken care of. I was watching a movie yesterday, a classic movie, a fantastic movie, Danish movie called Babette's Feast. If you want to experience grace in a film, watch Babette's Feast. Definitely not something Hollywood could have produced. And in one passage in there, in one scene, people quote Psalm 85. And specifically, the part of Psalm 85 that goes like this. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall increase her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. That's the ways of the Lord. Those are the words that we also heard today from the epistle and the gospel from St. Mark the ascetic. His righteousness. Not mine or yours. So we are justified, dikaiothendes, from the same word as righteousness, dikaiosyni, dikaiothendes. We are justified. In other words, we are made righteous. We receive God's dikaiosyni, God's righteousness. And we have peace with God in Christ. Again, it's a question of who we are, not what we do. The what we do is simply the consequence of the grace and the righteousness, the dikaiosyni, that we receive from God. Paul concludes today's reading from Romans, and he wrote, much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. I have always been struck by that. Why don't I ever hear any preaching about that sentence, that last phrase, we shall be saved by his life? We are justified by faith in Christ, in his blood, by his blood, but we are saved by his life. That's profound. And I think it means that we are saved by becoming what Christ lived, what Christ was in those years long ago. In those years when that he lived as a man, as the son of Mary, at the same time as he was the Son of God, the Logos of God incarnate. Don't trivialize Jesus Christ. Don't turn him into somebody big, somebody important, the founder of our religion. Don't trivialize Christ, the man upstairs. He's not the man upstairs. He is here right now through his Holy Spirit, and he's becoming you and he's becoming me. If we are his servants, if we are doing our duty, and if we are allowing the grace of the Holy Spirit to fill ourselves. St. Paul wrote in chapter 8 of Romans, we are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's the only predestination you need to worry about. That we are meant to become like Jesus Christ. So don't trivialize Christ, but also don't separate him from your everyday life, because he is your life and he is your Savior and you are his. Know who you are and all these things will follow. What you need and what you do belong to Christ. Be justified by his death, be saved by his life, and be the life that he gives you, that he is creating in you right now, right this minute. May his holy name be glorified. The Lord is good, and he has given us so much to be grateful for. Amen.